Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit olathekia.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We've got Mike Boddicker in the studio. What's up, Mike? How are you?
I'm good. 3.5 minutes. Just got up early, watch you guys, make fools out of yourselves. It's perfect.
Oh, boy.
I would have been here earlier, but I was held up with some aliens showed up.
Oh, yeah.
But
is that right?
Were they observing the galactic code?
Yes, they were. They
okay,
were,
good.
I was a little worried, but then they mentioned that they had to.
Good care. Aliens or bad ones?
I think they were good.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they were good.
Protectors.
Yeah. The bad ones are the ones that destroy your crops.
The bad ones are living amongst us.
Gary Lezak's one of them.
Whoa.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I bet you he's
got some reptilian to him.
Yeah.
You ever seen the movie They Live with Roddy Piper?
No.
We'll go watch that.
No.
There's a lot of
And then get right back to me.
I base all my knowledge on this stuff on the documentary V that came out in the 80s. Documentary series.
I remember
aliens.
V.
Yeah, they ripped their faces off. And
yeah, there were aliens underneath that skin, weren't they?
I mean, yeah. They
it's men in black.
Truth.
That's all it is. Men in black.
Yeah. Truth to it all.
Yeah.
Hollywood has to
I remember
tell the truth.
When, I don't know how, I don't know how, see, I liked it a lot, and people kind of mock his movies, but like in a full movie theater, first night it came out, Friday night, Signs was scarier than hell.
Well, I mean,
it was good.
Oh yeah,
that thing for 2 hours I was like that.
Those are
and
great.
That almost made it kind of like you know this. If you ever imagine something happening, like
it wouldn't happen like that.
Jake knows all this stuff.
I do.
That had me. That every time that's on, I watch it. It still.
There was a lot of good laughing yesterday, I'll tell you that.
I played that segment back for my wife. I was like, you got to listen. This is some terrific radio right here.
Oh, man. I was dying.
Hey, we covered a lot of ground.
Yeah.
Ice machines to aliens.
Yes. Learned about the galactic code. I didn't know about the galactic code.
By the way, fish is not meat, just to let you know.
Right.
All right.
That's right. I mean,
a good Catholic boy should know that you eat fish on Fridays because you can't eat meat. So.
There you go. Wow. I mean, he just destroyed you in like 10 seconds.
Yep.
Why didn't I think of that? You're the brains of the outfit. Thanks for adding to the argument. That's exactly
saying,
right.
I'm just saying.
That was a kill shot.
Yeah. I'll tell you, Mike's right.
Good Lord. Can you bounce back from that?
Yeah, you don't eat meat, you eat fish. Yeah.
He just wants to think that he does.
I can't bounce back.
He ate enough meat in his life for a whole lifetime.
Yeah.
Just that one steak.
Yeah, just in Western Illinois alone, he ate so much meat that he could never get back from
rude.
That. Man, back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the show. Mike Boddicker. What did you think of Danny Duffy's explanation of his injury? Make you feel better about it? Because I did not feel good yesterday. Does that alleviate your fears?
Yeah, I think he's all right. I mean, he kind of stated that, you know, everybody's grinding. Everybody's hurting a little bit. It's a matter of you're injured or you're just hurting a little bit. And that pretty much sums it up. Because through the course of a year... you hurt a little bit, and you got to know your body well enough to say, okay, this isn't normal. This isn't the normal pain. So, and not being able to get loose, that's usually a good indication there's something, little issue in there. But as long as everything, all the pictures came back okay, I think it'd be all right. Just a little rest.
Do you think that Danny Duffy can, when he comes back, we're going to see anything close to what, I mean, I don't think, that's kind of a bad question because he's not going to keep up the numbers that he's not going to have a sub-2 ERA. I mean, he's not, things will even out.
Are you sure?
But do you think Danny Duffy can still pitch effectively when he comes back after, if it just is a flexor strain?
The only issue with that is you get a little gun shy.
That's what I'm talking about. Like
when
mentally,
you first come back,
affect
okay,
him?
Do I let it go? Do I let it go? Do I, you know, just And eventually you say, screw it. You know, either it goes or it goes, you know, and then it'll be fine. But there's always that little anticipation of, could I tweak it again? Could I blow something out? That's in the back of your mind. No matter what you say, it's always in the back of your mind.
So maybe a start or two to get him through it mentally, and then he'll be back to what he was.
I think so.
So you don't think this is going to be something that hangs over him the whole season?
No. A little secret, if you're going into the MRI machines, take a washcloth with you, lay it over your eyes as they put you in.
But how will that make me not fat? Because that's, I'm in there like, you know, it's fat guy in a little coat. I'm like,
Now, seriously, they used to get football players in there.
Well.
You can get in there.
I just like to, you know.
Stretch it out.
I just spread out. I do a little spread eagle there. Just, you know. Like
spread eagle's not good.
I'm just, for 45 minutes, my body's not meant to be like in a cocoon.
Yeah. Just, you know. Yeah. Listen to music.
Yeah, they put the Elvis on.
The last two times I've been in the machine, the music didn't work. So then you get to listen to that.
Cocoon. I kind of like that too. A little bit. Okay, so we're good with Danny Duffy. Okay.
Yep, I'm good with it.
So tell me, because I'm going to refer to this a couple of times, because Jamie Bluma has said the same thing. You have said in the past, this is before they drafted A.C. Lacy, that Jackson Kowar was the prospect of the four that you liked the best. We're talking about the four. It's Bubich, Lynch, Singer, and Kowar, right?
Right.
What did you think of Bubich at the beginning, before you saw him last year?
Before I saw him last year?
Before you saw him pitch in the majors, like, what was your...
Basically, it was a command guy, changing speeds. That kind of refers to me. I mean, I didn't have tremendous velocity.
Because it seems like you like a guy like that.
Yeah, I do. And the one thing he has to figure out is how to control his emotions a little bit.
So last year, was he what you expected? Was he better than you expected after you got a chance to see him last year?
No, that's pretty much what I was expecting out of him.
Okay.
Nothing dazzling, but he pitches. And you don't see that very often anymore. You see a lot of guys rearing back trying to throw 95, 97 with no command, and I kind of like to see a guy in there every once in a while that can just spot the ball and change speeds and change eye levels and stuff like that. He was very good last night. So was a Milwaukee guy. He was really good last night.
Woodruff's terrific.
Tremendous.
But so, like, Bubich got roarked in spring training, and that's how he lost his spot, right?
Couldn't throw strikes.
And so now...
And that's, you know, it's funny because you talk about that. A command pitcher... Sometimes it takes guys a little bit longer to get it. So he went through that spring training where it was like, gosh, and once he got it, he's fine. But
he was getting lit up.
He was getting lit up.
Mark's been getting his tits lit.
Yeah.
He really has. but he loses his spot to Junis, and that can affect the kid too, because you think, okay, I made it. I'm part of the rotation. We talked about him being part of the rotation the entire offseason, and then he lost his spot in spring, which I'm sure infuriates Nate because, you know, he doesn't like spring training numbers. And who does, really?
Not really. Not me.
And so he comes back. He's in the bullpen. His first outing, he gave up 3 hits and 2 runs in an inning. Then comes back, pitches an inning, and gives up 1 hit. After that, he goes 5 2/3, 1 hit, 3 walks, 2 strikeouts, no runs. And then against Detroit, 5 innings, 3 hits, no runs, 4 walks, 6 strikeouts. And then last night, 6 innings, 1 run, or 1 hit, no runs, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. So since he's been called up this year, 18 innings, 18 2/3 innings, only giving up 9 hits, only giving up 2 runs, 9 walks, 14 strikeouts. But good Lord, he's been fabulous.
He has. He's got a knock the walks down. You can't live like that where you walk a leadoff guy and generally they score.
I thought you were going to say he needs more strikeouts because that's the only true way to measure a good pitcher.
I really care less about his strikeouts. It's just his walk.
That's all that matters, right?
And the walks really affect him. That's what I mentioned earlier. You have to control your emotions.
He gets mad at himself.
He gets mad at himself. And
does he get as mad as Brady Singer at himself or no?
No, both those two need to control their emotions.
Brady Singer gets super pissed off at everything.
I know.
I love it.
And sometimes, well, it's good to have that fire in you, but you also can't allow the other team to realize it's affecting you And that'll come with age, I think, I hope. Some guys never do get over it, but I'm hoping that they figure it out. And he's got to knock the walks down a little bit. Other than that, he's been very good.
So when you watch Bubic now, what's his upside to you?
Command. That's his big thing. That's why the walks kind of bother me a little bit, because he's a command guy, changing speeds. And that tells me he's nitpicking just a little bit. I mean, his stuff's good enough.
But what can he be?
Can he be? Is that probably a fourth or fifth starter.
And there's nothing wrong with
no,
that.
No, that's a it's fourth that's, or fifth starter in a big league. That's pretty damn good.
But people say that, like, yeah. Oh, that's all. But no, but I mean, think, you know, look how many star, look how many pitching you, prospects never.
To be honest with you, I was probably a four starter.
No. Well, let's clarify something though. The fourth or fifth starter on one team versus the fourth or fifth starter on another team are two different things. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I hope what you're saying is fourth or fifth starter on a championship caliber team.
Yes, that's what I meant.
Because, you shouldn't even turn your nose up and just becoming a major league starter. How many pitching prospects never sniffed a
right? But
nothing.
Like when you talk about being sometimes, well, this guy is the ace of that staff. Well, it's a 100 loss team. If he was on another staff, he'd be the fourth or fifth starter. You know what I'm saying? Like the Royals, and so
we've had those.
Yeah, I mean the Royals won a World Series with a whole bunch of fourth or fifth starters, right? Like they didn't have much. I mean, well, they made it to the World Series in 2014 with that. They didn't have a true ace that year. And then you know, like
I'd say a bunch of maybe two and three starters in 2014.
So who was in the rotation then? James Shields.
Let me see.
Guthrie. Ventura.
Like in 2015, Cueto's better than a fourth.
Yeah, that's why I said 14. But Cueto, they had to trade for to get somebody that was like a possible ace-type pitcher, right? Like, that's what that was kind of one of the things was, well, they need a guy that's like a true number one or two.
Let's see. So James Shields.
At that time in his career, I would say he was back of the rotation type guy.
I mean, 3.21 ERA and 227 innings.
Okay, maybe third, maybe second or third starter.
I was going to say number two, probably.
Ventura had a 3.20 ERA and 183 innings. Vargas had a 3.71 ERA and 187 innings. Duffy had a 2.53 ERA and 149 innings. That's better than 4 and 5 guys, man.
I mean, okay.
What you think? I mean, Guthrie, now Guthrie's a fourth or a fifth starter. Yeah. He had a 4.13 ERA and 202 innings.
Yeah.
But
he was a fourth. Yeah.
I mean, what would we do right now if the Royals rolled out a rotation that had their ERAs were 2.53, 3.20, 3.21, 3.71?
Okay, then I'll say I think that if that's the case, I think that Bubic's ceiling is higher than a fourth or fifth starter then. I'm not saying that that's what he's going to be. We're talking about ceiling, though. What could he be? You telling me he couldn't go out there and throw 140 innings with an ERA in the threes at some point in his career?
140 innings should be a fourth or fifth starter.
Well, that's what Ventura's numbers were that we just listed off, right?
Well, Ventura's 183. Duffy threw 149.
Okay.
Ventura, 183. Vargas, 187. Guthrie, 202. Shields, 227.
And I think that, like, one thing I like about Bubic, you tell me, Bod, though, he's 6'2", 220, and he throws in the low 90s. Like, to me, that should be a guy that could rack up a lot of innings.
He's got the
body for it. He's not an overthrower.
That's the whole key, and that's why I mentioned out of the four kids, why I like Kowar so much. It's effortless. Mm-hmm. Bubic is effortless when he throws. It's not forcing and, mm-hmm. you know, just
trying to overpower.
Yeah, it's You're going to get more innings, less chance of injuries. The whole package when you get that. Now Carr, he's got better stuff than Bubic, obviously. Probably not the changeup, but that's why I think his, when I look at him, I'm going, wow, that kid could really be something. And you know, I pitched on a team with Scott McGregor, and you could catch him with a wet Sporting News, you know. But he made great hitters look stupid because the thought process, Bubic has that kind of stuff. He hasn't learned how to use it in the big leagues yet, but he could be. Mac won 20 games.
Yeah.
I mean, that's always that possibility with 200-plus innings, you know. It's, yeah, he could be there. He's got to learn how to set up hitters, use hitters to his advantage, you know, make them chase, make, you know, the things that you need to know as a big league pitcher. Yeah, he's young yet. I mean, he's
23.
Yeah, he's still have a lot of time to figure that out. Yeah, could he? Yes. What I see is walks bother me. I can't see big league pitchers walking guys because it's going to come back and bite you in the butt every time. You know, leadoff walks, they score. You can't live on that edge and be successful. That's where he's got to get to.
So. And the Royals starting pitching in 2014 was way better than it was in 2015.
Yeah.
2015 kind of fits that description, okay, what you're saying. Volquez, a 3.55 ERA in 200 innings. Ventura had a 4.08 ERA in 163. Guthrie had a 5.95 in 148 innings. Duffy had a 4.08 in 136 innings. Cueto for the Royals had a 4.76 ERA in the regular season.
They didn't get it for the regular season.
You know who had the best ERA of all the starters and he only started 18 games? Your guy.
The big fella?
Chris Young.
Yeah. Chris Young.
He had a 3.06 ERA in 123 innings. But that's the description of what you're talking about, like a collection. Those numbers are like,
fourth
you know.
Fourth and fifth starters.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, look, I guess I'm a bigger fan of Bubich because
I like Bubich. I think this is why it's asked, because watching him now changes what my expectations of him could be.
And
a two or a three, maybe.
I'm colored by all the conversations we've had with a Mike Boddicker in here who talks a lot about deception being a part of, you know, your repertoire as a pitcher, keeping the hitters guessing, keeping them off balance, making them respect multiple pitches, changing speeds, all those things. And I feel like watching Bubich, you can see, some of it, he needs to continue to grow as a pitcher. Yeah.
And that can happen. I mean, we don't know yet.
Yeah.
We don't know yet. If you go and ask major league hitters, toughest guys to hit, and they'll tell you guys who can locate and change speeds. Mm-hmm. Toughest guys to hit. It's not the velocity.
If you can gear up for 96, most major league hitters can gear up for it if that's all you got.
I've seen it way too many times. Mm-hmm. And I always go back to the old Ted Williams, what he told me. I could hit a bullet if I got enough looks at it. That's just timing.
I feel like the bullet would go through his bat, though.
Not Ted.
Let's be honest.
Not Ted.
Right back up the middle.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's, you know, I've seen it. I mean, I've seen Jimmy Dwyer was our pinch hitter, and Chris James was the White Sox closer. He threw 100. It just consistently threw 100. He came off the bench, cold, ninth inning, first pitch fastball, 101, bang, home run. He geared up for 101, and he knew he was going to get it. So, yeah, you can hit a fastball if it's centered. It's the guys who can spot the ball, locate, change speeds, messes with their timing. It's all about timing.
All right, Michael Boddicker. 5 years from now, okay, how will they have panned out? Rank the five Royals pitching prospects, the Golden Arms.
I gotta see.
You gotta
AC.
Do it.
I gotta see AC. Nah, first.
Ace Lacy. He's gotta go on reputation.
AC Lacy.
Come on, you gotta do it for this show. Be bold. But if you don't want to put Lacy in, that's fine.
I really liked it. Seeing the video of him.
Yeah, so did I.
Jeebers, creepers. He'd be my number one, probably. Right. He'd be my number one. Coar would be my number two then. But right now, without him in the picture, Coar would still be my number one.
Okay, so Coar.
Coar.
And then that leaves Lynch, Singer, and Bubich.
I'd go Singer next. Mm-hmm. Lynch has not impressed me with what he's accomplished.
See, all the prospect rankings love Lynch. Yeah, it's Lacy than Lynch.
I'm glad they like Lynch. He's got to prove something to me yet. No, I would go Coar after Lacy, Coar, and then Singer, and then probably with stuff late Lynch, and then Bubich. But that's, I mean, that can flip flop with what he learns and how he adjusts to major league.
Okay, so you said you like Bubich more than other people do. How would you rank him? Nate's Royals starting pitching prospect rankings?
I haven't. It's hard.
Oh, when just
you
do
seen
it on the radio.
Them,
but, no one's going to hold you to what you say.
Yeah,
unless you're wrong, and then we'll keep replaying it over and over again for years.
Yeah, look at Jake. Jake
hit record.
Yep.
Trust your gut.
Well, who am I to disagree with Boddicker and Bloom on Coar?
Don't pick him just because I took him in the fifth round of my minor league draft and everyone else just passed on him like a bunch of dummies. Sorry. I like all you guys. You're friends. But I had to say that. You should have never let me have Coar. You made a big mistake. It'll haunt you for years. Go ahead. Not in the fifth round. I had to take him in the third round. I'm just sitting there like, come on.
It's funny
it on.
Because, you know, like Lacy, everybody seems to like the most, but he's done the least so far.
Yeah, that it's...
You know, I mean, it's like he hasn't done anything yet. And so it's not his fault, but he just hasn't.
I'm just going
it's
on
his fault.
Past the videos and games that I've seen before they drafted him.
I mean, he looks like a hoss. He looks like a hoss.
Yeah. And that's pretty effortless, too, when he throws. It's like, whoa, that's pretty nasty right
Rank
now.
The pitching prospects.
Coar.
Number one overall?
Yeah.
Well, you're kissing up to Boddicker and Bluma.
Lacy.
That's so obvious. Okay.
Bubich.
Over Singer?
Lynch, Singer.
Singer fifth?
Yeah.
Wow.
You're putting Lynch ahead of Singer?
Wow. I'm sorry.
No, every prospect rankings has Lynch.
I know.
I don't know.
Trust your
This is like
Nate.
Keith Law over here.
He's going on the eye test.
Well.
This is like John Sickles over here.
Lynch worries me how much he's got rocked early on. It does worry me because
it's just a couple. Come on.
Yeah, it's just a couple, but it was bad.
It just surprises me that Singer, that's already established himself, and you've seen him, perform very well at the major league level. You're just putting him fifth.
No hitter into the eighth inning last year.
You see what he did against the White Sox on Saturday on Sunday? I mean,
I'm just trying to help you, Nate.
If he ends up being fifth, then we're talking about championships coming to this town. If that's your fifth starter.
I mean, I know. It's silly because not all these guys are going to pan out.
Exactly.
So I'm going to be wrong on somebody.
But I like
and Singer's already proven that he can pitch at the big league level.
Hey, you surprised me. That was very bold.
But,
I like it.
But
good
I guess the reason I do it is because, for me, the thing about Singer is he is a two-pitch pitcher. And I know that it's possible to
He's
be
also a red ass.
A good starting pitcher
that
if
is.
You're a two-pitch pitcher. But I think that you, I don't know. I think that starting pitchers usually have a better chance if they've got a third way to change the batter's approach the third time through the order, all that stuff. And he hasn't.
Yeah, but we don't get to third time in the order anymore.
Well, that's a problem, I think. And I mean,
how hard is it to develop a third pitch?
Yeah, sure, Jake.
No, I'm asking you a real question.
No, this guy.
When you get to the big leagues, it's pretty damn
how many,
tough. You got to learn it when you're young.
So I mean, how many pitches did you have?
Right?
Yeah, but that's a simple.
A
cutter's just a little bit off your slider. It's not.
Couldn't Singer do something like that? I mean, he is still really young.
I'd rather see him get a really good changeup.
That's a lot harder to learn, though, isn't it?
No, I could teach him. I could teach anyone.
What was your repertoire? Give us the full. What could you throw with confidence?
Fastball, curse, changeup. Anytime.
Throw it for strikes, too.
Mm-hmm.
All of them.
In any count.
And then you change speeds off of all those. That's the key, is being able to take your curveball and throw it two or three different speeds. Your changeup, one hard, one slow. BP fastball as opposed to your regular fastball.
How'd you try to get Georgia Brett out, just out of curiosity? Like, what were you?
Throw it right down the middle because you got no chance anyway.
Just get it over with, huh?
Get it over. Here
Just
you
rip
go.
The band-aid
Here
off.
You go, Lou. Hit it. Yeah.
What was your out pitch?
Depend on the day. And that's what Nate's talking about. There are certain days I had a really good curveball, and my changeup wasn't very good. And other days my changeup was really good. My fastball was always pretty consistent location-wise. Some days it ran too much, and it ended up being back over the middle of the plate. So you just kind of back off that and show that. You got to think the game, what you have that day. And what you have in the bullpen doesn't always dictate. It's kind of like spring training. You might have great stuff in the bullpen and go out and get smoked. Where, or you might have nothing in the bullpen and go out and go eight and going, how did I do that?
Who does Bubich, when you watch him, does he remind you of anyone? I know you threw some names out there earlier, but when you see him, does he?
He's a lot like McGregor, but McGregor was more fine tuned. He could literally throw it over a dime consistently. His fastball, curveball, and his changeup. And he didn't walk people. Even if he got behind the count, he'd figure out a way to run a fastball up in the zone, make him pop it up or something like that, where it looked great, but after your eye levels down with his changeup and curveball and stuff or fastball, and then run something up, it looks great. It looks like a balloon coming up there, but you don't get to it. And that's pitching.
You know, I appreciate Twitter, and I would appreciate it more if someone would agree to get us coffee. Again, Mike Boddicker will autograph whatever you want.
No body parts.
We're getting people now wanting. I don't even know how this makes sense. They want to know what Ron Wolf thinks of the Royals' pitching prospects, and that's not. We don't have that. That's not something that makes any. It doesn't even make any sense. It does.
As long as they don't swing at any 3-0 pitches.
Why would he be talking about?
How about
Royals
J-Wolf?
Pitching prospects?
Back
though,
in my day, respected the game. You didn't throw. No. You didn't
he
swing at the 3-0 pitches.
Jake, Ron Wolf would have no reason to comment on. See, sometimes our listeners
these
just
kids,
wanna...
these
Jake, you're doing nothing back there anyway. Go get us some coffee.
I could go get some coffee. Divas over here need some coffee.
Bubich, yeah. Bubich is an average fastball.
Yeah, looks like we got a lot of divas.
Yeah, well, we do around here.
You ain't kidding. So Bubich, last night, looks tremendous. And again, and that's his previous two outings were five innings plus. And so that's really like three starts in a row. So do you think he's here? Is he here to stay in the rotation?
Should be. As long as he keeps pitching well, how do you take him out?
Okay, so then you have a spot coming up where you need to fill in
for Duffy
while Duffy's gone. Mm-hmm. You've got Junis. You've got Ervin Santana, who's pitched well out of the bullpen.
He's pitched really well out of the bullpen. And he's given innings.
And then you got Jackson Kowar. Who would you like?
Oh, I'd love to see Kowar. I would love to see Kowar pitch up here. I want to see what he's got here. I know what he's got down there. I want to see what he's
Why
got
Why do I
here.
Want to wait? Because I usually want the prospects up immediately, and I want
to
wait.
That's fine. I would love to see him, but I have no problem with Santana pitching either. He's done a very good job, and he's given us innings. He can get you five or six innings, and that's all you're really asking. So, yeah, I would probably take Santana. I would love to see Kowar, but I'd probably take Santana.
Kowar so far in three starts, 15 and two-thirds innings, 11 hits. 6 walks, 22 strikeouts, and he's won all 3 starts. A 1.15 ERA in 3 starts, mm-hmm. down at AAA. Good.
The track record of the Royals is you're usually looking at 5 starts in a row of dominant performances, and they move the guy up to the next level.
Well, there's three.
He's getting there. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's not a hard and fast rule. I'm just saying in general, that's kind of where they're at. They want to see a guy dominate at a level for at least a month. And then they start talking about moving him up. Now, there's got to be the opportunity as well in the rotation, but you're talking about a possible opportunity in this rotation right now. So we'll see.
So what, if they do start Santana, who takes his spot in the pen then? Who jumps into that spot? Right. Do they bring somebody?
Well, Zimmer came back yesterday.
Yeah,
so that helps.
Yeah, that's right. Zimmer came back. I forgot about that.
Yeah, he's got a different kind of a – I mean, Santana seems like more of a long guy in the bullpen than Zimmer. Interesting.
Well, Junis would be the long guy.
It'd be nice to have.
I was going
to
say Junis would take the long guy, and then Zimmer would
gives
take,
you another
yeah,
arm.
Give you another arm for an inning.
Last night sure looked good.
Yeah, guys looked real good last night.
You like Brent? So we've talked about him all season long.
Yeah, he's getting better too. Yeah, I do. He got his first win last night.
Yeah. That's a
first
big deal.
Major league win.
Hey,
good for him.
For a kid that appeared for a while that was not even going to make it to the majors after bouncing from organization to organization, gets out there and he's pitching very well.
First big league win. Congratulations, young man.
One of the better relievers in the bullpen so far. We will take a break. We've got Mike Boddicker in studio back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Mike, can I invite you to lunch tomorrow? Are you available?
I might be.
Tequila Harry's.
Oh!
T. Harry's.
You know that place.
Yeah, very well. Yes. Are you there? You there?
I'm going to be there tomorrow. Is today Wednesday?
Okay, yes. Good.
Tomorrow's Thursday, right?
Hump day.
Tomorrow, you know, it's the southeast corner of College and Corvera. I'll be there tomorrow from 11 until 1.
That's my Mexican restaurant, man. That's where I go.
$8.10. You can get the Tijuana tacos, which three fried tacos, beef or chicken, with rice and beans.
Ugh.
Or you can get a burrito bowl with beef or chicken with poblano rice, black beans, tomatoes, cheese, green onions, topped with delicious sauce for only $8.10.
They have fish tacos there, Jake.
Yeah.
You're good.
Shrimp fajitas, too.
Yeah.
So I invite all of you out to Tequila Harry's off the southeast corner of College and Corvera in Overland Park tomorrow, Thursday. It could be a thirsty Thursday because they have delicious margaritas.
Oh, yes,
as well.
They do.
And so coming out, you got a little excited for that one.
Yes, I do.
Wow. maybe a liquid lunch for Mike Boddicker tomorrow at Tequila Harry's. And you can enjoy some great 8-10 specials with me tomorrow from 11 until 1 at Tequila Harry's.
Mm.
Delicious. So, I'm going to be at the Corn Ferry Tournament tomorrow, by the way, during our morning show.
Oh, really? During the show?
Yeah.
From 6 until 10?
7 to 10.
Explain that
to me. You get coffee out there.
Corn
Ferry. I don't know what Corn Ferry is, but that's the name of the tour that these young golfers that are trying to make the PGA Tour.
Man, do you have a way with words. I think that's the actual description that they use in all their media kits.
I think I nailed it. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. That's, you know, like, are you their PR guy or what?
He's gonna take his shirt off and show them how to do it.
Yep. No, they won't let me.
Yeah, you got to get real. You got to be real careful about around this guy on a golf course now.
That's
you
what
never
I
know
hear.
What's going to happen.
That's
what
I
are you
I
laughing
hear.
About in there?
Nothing. I think there's some kind of consulting firm or something, Corn Ferry Consulting.
Is there?
I think that's what that company does.
Wow. I thought it was like someone that the kids.
It's corn with a K.
Yeah, I thought it was like, you know, like they put corn on a boat and take it across bodies.
No,
of water.
I thought it was like something like when you're a kid in Iowa, you know, you put little kernels of corn under your pillow and the corn fairy comes and visits you and
gives you money.
Corn Fairy is a global organizational consulting firm.
There you go.
Five core areas: organization strategy, assessment and succession, acquisition.
I like my description better of a corn fairy.
I like that idea.
Like, hello, would you like some more corn?
I like the corn fairy's voice there. Where's that corn fairy from?
She goes, oh, shucks, more corn now.
Lend me an ear.
And explain to me, how did you get hooked up with this?
Well, it's
because if you've not heard, he's synonymous with golf now.
I'm a golf guy now.
He's golf.
You
guy.
Got golf tournaments guy. Are asking for him to appear at their tournament now.
And the tour is in Kansas City, playing at Blue Hills.
Yeah,
Bloom is out there right now.
Blue Hills, nice.
Yeah. He got out there 5:30 this morning.
That's that Greg Gurley territory. That's the fancy.
What kind of territory
area.
Is that?
Well, you know how Gurley. Swings.
All whoa.
Wow. Candle on then, huh?
I'm going to stay away from that one.
Okay. Well, all right then.
High class.
Bloom is out there. He's volunteering. He's out there today. He's out there right now.
Yeah, they have the Pro-Am going today.
The Pro-Am.
I thought he was just picking up loose papers and stuff and putting them in the trash. Volunteering.
Wow. Yeah, well, he's probably doing that too.
So tell me what you know about Mr. Jay Heinrichs.
Good man. Assistant GM while I was at the Royals. I really like Jay a lot.
And now he's the president and GM of the Kansas City Monarchs.
Monarchs, yeah.
And so I was speaking
you're
with him
try
about
to
you.
Embarrass me
no,
right
I'm
now?
Not going to try to embarrass you. I'm going to see if you remember something.
Okay.
And so I said, boy, Mike Boddicker told me to remind you of this story when I saw you. So I did, and we talked about your mother and Ewing Kauffman Suite and not being happy when
they took me out.
They took you out of the game, okay?
I had to explain to her.
And so he said, well, stuff, so. You ask him about this story. So do you remember when you signed with Kansas City?
Yes, sick as a dog.
And they brought you in, and you had a rough flight.
Yes.
What happened on the plane? It was he said it was.
Oh, yeah, it was a knuckleballer. Yeah, it was a bad one. And I had the flu. I was sick as a dog.
And it was bad.
It was bad.
And you and he was there to pick you up at the airport.
Yeah,
and you
yeah. I was shit six shades of white.
Yeah, you were bad, right?
Yeah.
So what happened? Yeah. So were you? Did that?
If they have a baseball card of me holding up my uniform,
right?
When I signed here,
and
if you look at me, I was really pasty. I did not look very well. I was so sick, but they, you know.
He said you were mad about that flight, though. That
I was
flight,
not
that
happy was, because I could have drove down quicker.
Right.
Yeah.
And so what happened? Were you on a small plane? Or was
yeah,
it,
well, not a very big plane.
Right,
yeah.
And so they got you, and it's just yeah. all over the place, right?
Two worst flights in my life were from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, to Kansas City, and the other one was from Cedar Rapids to St. Louis.
But that one in particular, you're already sick, and you're flying
yeah,
to sign with the Royals.
The, that's the worst
and
part.
And it was all over
when,
the place.
When you're have the flu, and you got one of those barf bags with you anyway.
He said you were super pissed.
Oh,
when he got
man,
to the
I'm
airport.
Going, seriously? Good. Somebody could have drove me down in a car, and it would have been fine.
And then our conversation is over, he said, hey, and make sure he tells the story about Kirk Gibson again, flying the plane.
Flying
I said, well, you know.
Yeah.
Was that a good flight?
Actually, it was. He did a nice job. I had no idea he was landing the plane.
And so for people that don't know what happened, you were as a team flight.
It was a team flight going into Detroit. We were going to play the Tigers, and plane landed, and everybody's getting off. Next thing you know, Gibby's coming out of the cockpit.
And he just wasn't up there for a visit.
No,
they let
no,
him land
they
the
let
damn
him
plane.
Land the damn plane because he had a pilot's license.
Do you think that was...
That was a little scary for me.
Right. And the grand
because Gibby
things,
was a rockhead anyway.
Was that the right thing to do with the team on the plane? I mean, you know. Like, do we want to hear a story of, yeah, we let Salvi land the plane. He's fine.
No, you
take
really
it easy, my friend.
Yeah.
No, then right after that, Gibby grabbed me and said, hey, we're going to go fishing tomorrow up at such and such a lake, and I'm flying up there tonight. You want to go? Well, hell, there was storms around the area anyway, and I'm going, no. No.
Thank you, my friend.
No, but Jay said to say hi, and I really
great
enjoyed
man.
Speaking with him.
Yeah, I'm happy for him, and he'll do a great job there.
You know, they want you out at it's a Monarchs games.
They what?
They want you out there. It's a Monarchs games.
Oh,
that's a
that'd
Mike
be good.
Who come out there.
Yeah, they had a nice fanfare out there, fan fest.
We'll put you in the Legends Club. Last night we had... Christian Okoye was there.
Ooh.
And Neil Smith was there.
Nice.
And Warren Moon was there. A gentleman by the name of Jamie Bluma. Have you ever heard of him?
Mm, he's
was
a legend.
There. Right.
He's an idiot.
Well, there it is again.
So before we run out of time today, Bod, where do you come down on this this Tony La Russa, your mean Mercedes debate?
Oh, he already heard me bitching about this before the segment even started.
I'm still trying to figure out why they would put him in that position, give him the managing job. Did you, number one, when he goes out to take out a pitcher or talk to a pitcher, he better bring some red hot with him because they're going to tighten up by the time he gets out there. It takes him like 20 minutes to walk out from the dugout out to the mound. So they better have a trainer with him and rubbing up the guy's arm if they're going to leave him in. By the time he gets out there, you can just get a guy up and loosen up and get him into the game. They don't have to stall. I'm going, wow, what are you doing, Tony? You don't need this.
But what's, like, so everyone's pissed off because the guy hit a home run? So he's up there, the play's not supposed to try to hit? Like, what's, I don't understand.
That's
what he's,
stupid.
But what's he supposed to do? Like, not?
No.
Get him the take sign. He's supposed to take. How do you feel about that?
No. Now play the game. You know, I'm sorry, especially in today's game, where it can flip flop so fast. Now you look at 7-0 down in the eighth inning against the Tigers with that awful bullpen. Anything can happen. Next thing you know, it's 7-7. You can't play that way anymore. It doesn't work that way anymore. Not with today's baseball. You can't. You got to just keep going. You're stealing bases. You're doing everything that you can to put another run on the board because it can come back and bite you. You have to.
Like, I don't get it. I mean, and so...
No, you don't send anybody up there and say, hey, you know, we're giving up an out. No. If they can't get you out, they need to get better. They need
yeah,
to get better.
Yeah, it's a position player out there. You know, if you don't want, you know, then use one of your pitchers then, if you're going to bitch about
That's
this.
That's right.
And the thing is, it just kind of floors me sometimes. We're talking about professional athletes here.
Yeah, the big leagues. The top
this is
level of the game.
You're a Major League Baseball player, and you want sympathy from your opponent. You want them to stop trying because you're struggling. That's basically what we're saying here. And La Russa's quote here, you know, about respecting the game and respecting your opponent. And to me, you remember this scene in Red Oaks, Stephen St. John, when is it Paul Reiser? Is that his name?
Yes.
He says, you know, he's playing tennis with the young tennis pro, and the young tennis pro realizes he's kicking his ass, so he starts taking it easy on him. And he tells him, that's not nice to me. You're patronizing me now. You know, you're patronizing me by taking it easy on me. You know, and that's like, so these guys.
Back in the day when Tony was a younger manager, it was kind of played that way. The game has changed completely. To put a 7 spot up against somebody was so rare. It's not anymore.
Well,
it really isn't.
You're talking about your mean Mercedes, who's 28 years old and has just finally gotten to the big leagues.
Yeah.
And so, by the way, he's going to get one shot at arbitration and to get a decent contract. Because when we saw that happen with Lorenzo Cain, right, by the time he got to free agency, he was 32 because of how long it took him to get to the big leagues. And every single home run this guy hits is going to, you know, mean some more dollars in his account. He's supposed to not take advantage of that in a Major League Baseball game because he respects his opponent. Meanwhile, Tony La Russa is a guy who was running out the biggest steroid ring in baseball with the Oakland A's and maybe other teams as well. How's that respecting the game? How's that respecting
your
opponent?
He said it was a big mistake. He called his own player clueless. And then after the game last night, he said he had no problem with the other team throwing at him. Look, he's and reading a lot of the accounts from Chicago and people covering the team, even though they're performing very well, the fans are turning on him. And now the clubhouse, that's going to go over real well. Him throwing his player under the bus publicly.
Well, they're tweeting about it.
Back-to-back nights.
They're tweeting about it. I mean, like, his players are, you know, so Tim Anderson said, the game wasn't over, exclamation point. Keep doing you, Big Daddy. That's his own teammate.
No, Tim Anderson was in the top stair of the dugout screaming at the Twins when they threw at him last night.
Yeah, I would have been, too.
He wanted to defend his teammate.
Yeah, he should have. That's good.
La Russa couldn't wait to throw him under the bus and then drive over him.
Yeah, that was bad. That was bad. No, the game has changed. You got to. I'm too old to change, but if you're going to be in his position where you're managing a team in today's baseball game, it's changed. I mean, you shouldn't be managing if you can't change and morph with how baseball's become. I don't like baseball the way it is right now, but if you're going to be involved in it, you better learn how to change with the times.
All right, we're going to talk to Gary next, just to let you got to clear this up. Golf guy is super mad now on Twitter.
Oh, what did I do?
Okay, no one was making fun of the tournament. We're making fun of Nate. That's much different. Something we like to have fun with each other here. We love the Corn Ferry tournament. We had Rick Amos in to talk about it.
I'm excited to be there tomorrow. I got passes for my dad to go. It's a great event.
Golf guy is super pissed.
So. Well, who's golf guy?
Well, the guy that's golfing his profile and handles about golf.
Hey, golf guy.
Golf guy's mad.
Chill out, man.
Well, I just told him, I said, hey, settle down.
Well, we have fun here.
We're making fun of Nate.
Now that I'm here. By the way, I played 9 holes of golf yesterday. Now that I'm playing more golf, I'm starting to realize that there's
golf. Really hard.
Well, it's incredibly hard. But there's golf guy that has no sense of humor about anything and is too serious
about
everything.
Ding, ding,
and
ding,
then there's
ding.
Golf guy that realizes it's a game and it's fun. And that's
why Nate's going to be out there because he's going
to
have fun.
I'm excited to be out there tomorrow.
The event.
Yeah, it's a great event.
It's a great event in our town.
Just don't take your pants off. You can take your shirt off. Just don't take your pants off.
I won't take anything off tomorrow.
Don't make any promises.
I will keep everything on tomorrow.
We'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We've got Gary Lezak on the line. What's up, Gary?
Rain. It's heading our way. You ready?
Oh, what else is new?
I thought I was supposed to get here last night. How come it didn't?
I don't know. Did you watch Channel 9?
No, I watched you last night.
Whoa, shots fired. Hold on here.
Hey.
Hold on here.
Well,
didn't you say it was going to about like 2 or 3 or in the middle of the night start?
Nope.
Yeah, you did.
No, not last night.
Yeah, you
night.
Did. Yeah, you did.
No, no.
Oh, maybe that was at 6:30 you said that.
I might have.
Yeah. Okay. It was one of the two I watched you.
My map might have shown it, but what I said is that rain will move in during the morning tomorrow, 100% chance.
Well, after midnight's morning.
It's true. Okay. I mean, especially, right. You know, especially for you. You know, you get up so early.
I got up a couple different times last night just look outside, see if it was raining. So.
Yeah, it was.
I said, well, Lizak's wrong. Lizak's wrong. It's not here.
Yeah, but it's coming. It's coming, you know. It is heading our way.
Make it stop.
Right. Wow. The Royals won yesterday, Boddicker.
Yeah, they did. They played well. It's a good game. It's fun to watch for me.
It was a fun game.
Yeah. 2-0 game is a good game.
And again, it was like it's weird how 2 games in a row we have a play at the plate. Was he safe or out again? What do you think?
Don't know. Wasn't there. And they don't give you enough angles anymore. I don't understand why the people in New York get a free pass. No, nobody. They don't have to explain their answers.
They just say it.
They just, okay, he's safe. No, he's out. No.
Yep.
I think they missed both of them, to be honest with you. So, what I can see.
Do you think that was...
I thought the Chicago one, I thought they missed that call, and I thought they missed the one last night.
Last night, I mean, you couldn't clearly see safe route.
The umpire was in a bad position last night. He was behind on the catcher. He really couldn't see.
He
couldn't see.
So he just called him safe because he can't see.
He couldn't see it, And they're not, I don't know. Who knows?
But the
get rid of the replay.
You think get rid of replay?
Yeah, get rid of the replays. Hell, they don't change them anyway, so. Wasting our time.
Yeah. I like replay. I especially like replay because at first base, it's like a tie goes to the runner. The only time there's a tie.
Are you sure, Gary?
Just like that's what's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Anyway, wow. Okay. Any other questions?
How many days this weekend where we don't have rain? Because I still have some stuff to plant.
At this time of the year, it's hard to say it won't rain sometime during the day. But Saturday and Sunday. If it rains, it would be brief, so I don't think it's going to rain Saturday and Sunday. You'll have a chance to get all your work in. It'll be in the 80s, but it'll also be very muggy this weekend. Extreme mugginess is arriving. So it's heading this way. Today, we do have rain marching up the state line. I know it's shocking. I'm doing the weather at this moment. So just put your phone down, listen carefully. Here's what's going to happen. Rain is going to spread in the next hour or two, and it'll be right up the state line. A little farther to the east of Lee Summit, maybe not much rain for a while, but from Lee Summit right to Overland Park and right up the state line, it is going to rain here in the next hour or two as this rain marches in. There will be other bands of rain between now and Friday. 1/2 inch to 2 inches of rain are likely in the next 48 hours. And that's on top of a whole bunch of rain we had this weekend. So if it's less than 2 inches, I don't expect much flooding at all. We'll have to see if any heavy thunderstorms form, and then flooding is the main risk. Amazingly, there's still no risk of severe weather. We're about to break a record. EF5 tornadoes are like the one that hit Joplin with 161 people killed. The Moore, Oklahoma one in 2013, May 20th, with an EF5 tornado. That was devastating. The May 20th, 2013 EF5 tornado was the last EF5 tornado in the United States. In fact, in the world.
Good.
I know. It's a good statistic. So we're going to set the record for the longest time in between EF5s. It doesn't look like we'll have one this year. So that's a good streak. More on that coming up. But tornado is my least favorite thing. Right now it's cloudy. Some rain. Hey, Mike, do you want some dad jokes? 3 dad jokes.
I'm just happy you gave the weather this quick. How about you, Jake?
I'm great. I'm great with this. This is fantastic.
Yeah. You're great with the dad jokes?
Well, we've got 3 minutes.
If they're good ones.
Even if they suck, we're going to hopefully be out of here before 8:03.
Hey, Gary. Hey, Gary.
Right here on Sports Radio 810, WHB in Kansas City.
Yep.
Hey, Gary, listen to this.
Uh-oh.
I dreamed about drowning in an ocean made out of orange soda last night. It took me a while to work out. It was just a fantasy.
Fanta orange soda.
Fanta orange
soda. Yeah, I guess. That sounds like one of mine.
No? All right.
All right, here we are. You ready? Here we go. For the dads out there giving these jokes to the kids, what did the jam say when it broke up with the bread?
What did it say?
You deserve butter.
That wasn't bad. That wasn't bad.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, for my little grandkids, they like that. Yeah.
What do you call a pencil with erasers at both ends?
What?
Pointless.
Oh, that's good.
Not bad.
That's what Dave Letterman used to have, double-ended pencils.
Yes, he did.
Erasers, so
yeah.
He'd just chuck them everywhere.
Yeah. Until he hit a guy in the eye.
Last one. Spike says, is it true you were addicted to soap? Mike says, yeah, but I am clean now. I like that one.
Mike had a pained look on his face when you said that one.
The first two were okay. That last one, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Well, thanks. The Royals play tonight. Is that correct?
Sure, yes. It is. You got that one nailed.
Well, depends on the rain. I was going to say, you tell us.
Yeah, you're the expert.
I want to make sure I got the time right because I haven't gone to check, make sure it's not a day game. There's a good chance of rain, so I'll be monitoring that closely. Hopefully there's no solid band of rain coming in because, the Royals won last night. We got to get another win in. It looks like the chance of rain is pretty high during the day. The chance of rain is there tonight, so I'll monitor that chance for you closely. That's all I have. I can't believe it. We had a good segment today because everyone's happy. Are you guys happy?
And yes. To that last joke.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that.
I'm happy.
I'll work on it.
First two were all right.
Two out of three is 667.
667.
Oh, I love that joke. All right. Here's the dad. Here's Bob Hamilton.
Boy. Thanks, Gary. Spring rains can be hard on your sewer system. Call today and we'll open that line for $99 with a free camera inspection. Wow. Better call Bob, 888-4-B-O-B, remember 913, or bobhamilton.com.
Mike, thank you so much for the time. Why don't you go get yourself a hot cup of coffee somewhere?
No, I'm going to go get your relish.
Oh, yeah.
I got another jar of relish for you.
I relished the opportunity to eat that again. That was wonderful. Mm. I did. I was eating it with a spoon out of that jar.
You said you liked it, so I got another jar.
Oh, I loved it. Thank you so much. I'm excited about that.
Good.
That's Mike Boddicker. Up next, we're going to talk to Matt Derrick, see if he has any relish for me on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Kansas City's hometown sports station. Sports Radio 810 WHB, Kansas City.